The character planted in the audience that you'd never expect to be on the payroll. And when she plays her big scene, she creates more heat than you could ever imagine. Now here's the secret. She's a stunt granny.
Granny Audio, this is 230-something. I don't know. I haven't even looked it up to start the show. But with me, thankfully, I have booted one Jeremy Mays and brought in the much more Wisconsin-y Dusty Giebank. How you doing, Dusty?
Well, thank you. That's high praise. I brought him in because he's from Wisconsin. That's great. Jeremy just doesn't have that Wisconsin-y thing going. So.
No, he doesn't. There are a lot of things that that Jeremy could have going for him, but
he also doesn't have a girlfriend who says "I don't know" after you ask them anything. So,
oh man, that's hold on—is that a good thing to not have a girlfriend that doesn't say "I don't know"?
Look, I mean, that was the most. All right, people don't know what the hell I'm talking about, as per usual. So. Here's the thing that I dream about. I never have normal dreams, right? Never.
Oh, that's right. You told me about that. Go ahead.
Okay, so after 3.5 12-hour shifts, I'm exhausted, right? So I got to take a nap. So I carve out a couple hours today, and I take a nap. And what I dream about when I'm taking my nap is you, me, and Jeremy are like school age, like high school, college-ish, and we're on a soccer team, not a softball team. There we go.
Yeah.
We're all on a softball team, and we're playing softball. And I'm asking you a question. It was probably some inane thing. I don't remember what it was, but, you know, like something strategy-wise for the game, or I don't know. You know, but I asked you maybe two or three questions. And you had a girlfriend in the dream who was not your current girlfriend or acquaintance or not even a past. It was just some figment of my imagination. And she was blonde, and she had a high-pitched, whiny valley girl voice. And every time I asked you a question, she would high-pitched valley girl, "I don't know." To the question. And that was very annoying. And it's also just generally annoying that that's the kind of thing that I dream about instead of anything that makes sense. So.
Yeah,
there,
well,
you go.
I don't think they normally make a whole lot of sense. Like, there's always something weird going on in a dream.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Any of them that I do a very poor job of remembering dreams.
Sure.
And I honestly, my ex-wife wanted to put a dream catcher up, the little Native American thing.
Yeah.
Up in our ceiling. And I swear I had a bunch of nightmares when I didn't have it hung up after she moved out.
Interesting.
And then I was like, well, fuck that. And I put it back up, and I haven't had too many problems since.
Wow.
I'm not that kind of a superstitious kind of a guy, but I'm just saying it's kind of weird.
That is. That's very weird. I'm very superstitious. I believe in all that crap. So, yeah, that's interesting.
I feel like that works on some subconscious level there.
Well, maybe the dream catcher will catch that girlfriend and take her away from you. So.
Yeah, no, I was amused that my first question was she hot?
You only asked the important questions, yes.
It's the important questions in life that matter.
Like, how hot, like, here's a philosophical question. How hot does a chick have to be if she's completely annoying, you know?
Oh, yeah, no, it would have to be pretty hot in my estimation, because I have met some real pieces of work in the day that were just completely hopping. I'm like you're really even too stupid for your hotness. Like,
yeah,
it was almost confounding. I'm like, wow, like on a look scale alone, you're probably like a minimum of an 8.
Mm-hmm.
And you are just completely intolerable.
Yeah. Understood.
So yeah, I don't know. There's got to be a pretty decent balance in there, in my opinion, because I'm running some real airheads.
Yeah.
Oh my lord. I had no idea how old Jason Giambi looked.
What? Tell me. I haven't seen him.
Well, I just turned on the Tampa Bay Cleveland Indians game here.
Yeah, and bad guys are winning. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really have good or bad here, because I don't really have any hate for Cleveland. Well, Cleveland, really, in general. Because
right.
if they beat the sorry ass Steelers this year, good for them.
I don't understand what's going on with the Browns. I don't get how you can trade a 22-year-old who's your best player and get better because of it. I'd like to think of myself as fairly knowledgeable about sports, but that one does not compute for me. So.
Yeah, well, it helps that just the entire AFC North is terrible this year.
It's garbage. Yes, it does.
Like, I don't care. I'm not trying to dismiss anyone, but someone's going to win that division, and someone is going to lose their first-round playoff game.
Absolutely.
And
in a year like this, it might as well be the Browns, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of sorry that the Steelers are 0-4, but they're only 2 games back.
Yep. It's not a total loss missing the playoffs. If they get a high draft pick, they do really well with draft picks anyway. So to get a high pick could only help them for next year. So,
That's really been part of the problem, is that some of their draft picks recently have not done so hot.
Okay.
So yeah, hopefully with a higher draft pick, they don't misfire here.
Well, one more football related thing before I turn back to baseball. Bill Simmons, who I think is a complete imbecile. I have to pretense that. He's a fucking idiot. But I read where he suggested the Steelers should trade Roethlisberger to the Texans for a draft pick and Matt Schaub. Your thoughts?
Oh, wow. Okay.
And Matt Schaub.
I used to enjoy him. I didn't necessarily think that he was an expert or anything like that, but I have not heard this idea floated from him.
Okay.
And I don't know. The Texans are going to have a fairly high draft pick, one way or the other, with or without Schaub, in my opinion.
Okay.
Or even with Roethlisberger, I don't think their ceiling is going to be Denver Broncos at this point.
Mm-hmm. So it's better for them to not have Roethlisberger and take the higher draft pick, maybe.
Yeah, no, I mean, I guess that could work out. I don't think there's a chance in hell that it's going to happen.
Oh, no, that's why I said he's an imbecile. I mean, he comes up with these ridiculous trade ideas for basketball all the time, so now he's doing it for football. It's just really annoying.
Yeah, no, I mean, well, in some ways, it's complete fantasy, but in other ways, you're like, well, like I just said, like, it would almost make sense. Like, Matt Schaub would probably die, and they'd have Bruce Gradkowski in there half the time.
Yeah.
Because I still don't understand, like, Roethlisberger causes his own problems in the pocket sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of part of, you know, the enjoyment of Big Ben, I suppose.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, Schaub's been hurt a couple of times, and he would just get destroyed behind that line. There are so many guys that would just get lit up behind that line. Like, Peyton Manning in that offensive line would not be getting along.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Tom Brady in that offensive line would not be getting along.
Right.
Because I always had a buddy arguing with me about Roethlisberger's value, and I'm like, no one else can do what he does. Like, I understand that maybe he isn't the best or, like, maybe even top five, that he's somewhere between 5 and 10.
Yep.
But
mm-hmm.
How do you, like, there aren't that many – I mean, there are, like, what, at least 6 garbage quarterbacks in the league?
Yeah.
So it's just like, you know what, if you're from anywhere between, like, 22 and above, you
mm-hmm.
probably have a quarterback that you're not going to get rid of.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You have a quarterback that you can fool yourself into thinking is a top 10 guy.
Yeah, if you're in,
like,
the top 20, you could probably
yeah.
fool yourself into him being a top 10 guy.
Yep, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Well, and I mean, honestly, and as much as I hate Baltimore, I'm just laughing at Joe Flacco at this point.
Yeah.
Because he got way more money than he should have. He was super hot for the playoffs last year.
Everybody jumped way too far on him.
Yeah.
He's good. He's not great. A lot of things went right for them to win that Super Bowl. So.
Yeah, even though Roger Goodell turned out the lights on them so that they lose.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I thought he only had a thing against – I thought Goodell only had a thing against the Steelers.
Well.
But, yeah, I mean, I guess going back to the trade,
mm-hmm.
I would pull the trigger on it, I suppose, because and I think they have a lot of cap problems, too, that to not get too far into that, but –
okay.
Just restructuring all of these contracts that they kept on doing has kind of put them in a little bit of a hard spot, too.
Sure.
And I think once they get those kind of cleared off the books, that'll help.
Hmm.
So, yeah, they don't want to admit that they're rebuilding, but they're kind of at that point where they're rebuilding. I mean, you know, it's the party's got to end at some point. And I didn't have a lot of faith in them coming into this year. Like, I was expecting probably another 500 year. I wasn't expecting this just complete terribleness.
No, understood, yeah.
So, well, I mean, it's a step below what I even expected.
Right. Well, 0-4, that's about as bad as it can get. So.
Yep.
But fortunately, there's happier sports news in Pittsburgh. Segue?
Yeah, no, I think this is also something else that my younger brother Ryan mentioned. He goes, Pittsburgh has never had more than 2 of their 3 teams winning at one time.
Yeah.
because early 90s, right before Cower came, Penguins won their back-to-back cups. The Pirates were getting into the playoffs on the regular. And finally, after a 21-year hiatus, I mean, I can't believe that you could become of legal drinking age within the time that it took for them to get into the playoffs. I unfortunately hearken back to the fact that, and I think I might have written it in that article that I did a while ago, that I got my driver's license the year that the Pirates last had a winning season.
Wow.
And I'm still completely bummed. I know I have the ticket somewhere, but I have one of my playoff game tickets still. I don't think I have all three, but what was it? Was it, I think it was 89, 90, and 91. Or no, 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 it was 92 there. So it was 90, 91, 92. We went to one game each year.
Oh, that's cool.
And I'll tell you what, I'm really kicking myself in some ways for not buying a ticket yesterday. That crowd was awesome.
It was amazing,
Because that's the one thing. I can't listen to the Cleveland Cleveland crowd currently, but I don't think they can outdo what Pittsburgh did with a superior number of persons.
No, that's right. It was really enjoyable for me because I don't really care about the National League all that much except for a team or two. But the Pirates are the ultimate underdog story. And, oh, do I hate the Reds anyway. So this was just double satisfaction for me.
Yeah, no, I had to think about you a couple of times because I had remembered your hatred of Dusty Baker from another one of our shows.
Oh, he's an abomination. Mm-hmm.
And there were just a couple of times, I mean, Johnny Cueto already looked like he was losing it in the second inning. Because, I mean, it was only the two runs, but he looked completely rattled at that point. And top of the third comes up, and Dusty Baker lets him bat, and I'm like, oh, thank you, Dusty Baker, for making that awful decision. Like, and I even think that was the inning that they had, like, their little dugout talk, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, Dusty, like, how did you let him walk back out there? Like, you could tell he didn't have it.
He just kills all his pitchers. I don't understand what it is. Like, you think he would get smarter about it as time goes on, but he's still doing it. He's killing Cueto, you know?
Yeah, no. I mean, I couldn't believe it that, they just didn't set things up. Matt Latos was supposed to be the starter, and then all of a sudden, like, because I think they talked to him in one of the Cincinnati games, the final it was the Saturday game. I caught some of that. And they're talking to Latos like he's going to start, but then all of a sudden he has bone chips in his throwing elbow. I'm like, hold on a second. Like, Saturday he was the starter, and now all of a sudden Cueto is? So, yeah, there's two burnout pitchers for you.
You heard at the beginning of the year how great the Reds' rotation is. And I always said, well, just wait. Dusty's going to kill at least half his staff, you know? So there you go. He did.
Yeah, and I mean, when it's two of your best pitchers.
Right.
That, that makes things even worse. And I'm trying to think of what, there were a couple of dumbbell decisions that I'm just like, oh my gosh, dude, like, what the hell is going on here?
Right, exactly.
Oh, and every time, because I knew that I had them in my brain last night, that they slipped out. But, yeah, he just made a couple other bad decisions aside from that one.
Mm-hmm. Now, I've said before on audios that I'm not a big fan of the importance of managers. I think the importance of managers is very overrated, and usually they don't mean anything. But over time, I've amended that thought to having a provision where sometimes the manager is so bad that he actively hurts the team. And Dusty is a classic example of this, you know?
Yeah. Because there were, like, three decisions that I was just like, oh, my gosh, dude.
It's
like,
just every game, it's like, what the fuck is he doing?
Yeah.
Why are you leaving that pitcher out there? Why are you doing this? Why are you making that substitution? There's always something where it's just like another boneheaded move by Dusty, you know?
Yeah.
And I got to live with having the same name as him.
Well, I'm sure he'll be out of baseball at some point, and hopefully he won't get a job as an in-studio analyst.
Oh, God.
Oh. He'd be like the Herm Edwards of baseball.
Yeah. One thing, it's kept Herm out of coaching, you know? So, there's a bonus.
Yes, yes it has.
So.
Oh, man. But, yeah, really excited for I'm excited for tomorrow. I probably will not be doing a whole lot of work come 1 p.m.
Right. Yeah, this is really exciting. Great time to be a Pittsburgh fan.
Yep. It's been a long time in the making, and to have a little bit of that dread in there, because it is always true. A one-game playoff is, you know, anything can go wrong, because I think my girlfriend came up, she's like, you're still watching this? And I'm like, it's not that far off. I was like, the Pirates blew this lead when we were back in Altoona like 2 weeks ago.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, like, because there were a couple of times, and that's kind of the other funny thing is that no one's going to mention it, but I think the Pirates, they left six guys on base in various innings. Like, there were a couple of times where I'm like, oh, just make this like 8-5 or 8-2 or whatever. It's just like, just put them out of their misery here and just make this a little bit easier. But
right.
Four runs was to me just enough to have one mistake. But and Clint Hurdle, actually, speaking of not pulling pitchers early enough sometimes, I was glad when he yanked Liriano after the seventh inning for a pinch hitter. I'm like, yep. Even though he only threw 90 pitches, he looked like he was kind of running out of some juice there in the seventh inning. So I'm like, yep, perfectly fine with this.
And I'd rather it be a little too early than too late. So I definitely err on the side of caution for a pitcher. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, especially, I mean, it's just this late in the year. You may as well just let the bullpen go with it.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So, and they did, and that was that.
That's great. So who do they play next? Who is it?
Oh, it's the St. Louis Cardinals.
Ah,
so they're staying in the division.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah,
how have they done this year against the Cardinals?
They are 10-9.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah, it has been a very even matchup. I do believe each team has won more at home.
Okay.
And I think that 4 of 5 that the Pirates took from St. Louis in Pittsburgh is the series that kind of helped put them over the edge.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, no, it is going to be a really interesting five-game series. I mean, I really like the four pitchers that the Pirates are going with here.
Definitely. Mm-hmm.
So I'm good with because, yeah, they're thinking Burnett, Morton, and then Garrett Cole, and then back to Liriano. So,
okay.
Cole's probably been their best pitcher in September.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So it's it'll be interesting if he ends up getting the nod Saturday in front of the Blackout Park again.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, I loved it. It's better than a whiteout. Although there were a couple of people disobeying that order with gold hats. Like, I just thought it was completely unnecessary.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, no, it'll be interesting. St. Louis has a bunch of good pitchers, too. So it could come down to a couple of runs, and hopefully
Sounds like it might come down to who plays at home last.
And I think that's St. Louis. I don't know, just because I haven't paid that much attention to the baseball playoffs, like, I've kind of caught them, but I was like, oh, it's a five-game series? I'm not used to paying this much attention.
Right, you're usually like, baseball, what? At this point.
Yeah, baseball's been an afterthought for about the last month and a half at this point.
It's like June, yeah.
So, it's like, oh, okay, well, that certainly makes things interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think it's 2-2-1. I would imagine that's what the case is.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, St. Louis gets the last one at home, so hopefully the Pirates can get 1-2 and
finish it up, mm-hmm.
in St. Louis, and then see where things go.
Right. Oh, cool. This is exciting.
Yeah, no. And I'm definitely going to look into getting tickets there when they go on sale. We'll see if I have anything else in store.
Sure.
I guess this Saturday I can't do it, so it'll have to be hopefully further in advance of that.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Well, and of course the A's are playing the Tigers, so.
Oh.
There goes that, mm-hmm.
And when does that fun start?
Oh, I don't know. I'm trying not to care too much because I know what's going to happen.
You don't have any faith?
Listen, it's been beaten out of me, man. So, here, I'll look it up here. It might be.
Yeah, no, it's just going to check here.
Two games tomorrow are National League games, so then it would be Friday.
Oh, I'm not signed in. That's why it's giving me this generic bullshit.
Yeah, Tigers at A's. Got Cologne going, which is good.
Good old Bartolo.
Yeah, there's no way he is not on steroids. There's just absolutely no way. So I'm just praying that he's sick every time they do drug testing. You know? Like, they can wait until next year to test him. That'd be great.
Well, what the fuck? Oh, yeah, that's what I need to do. Oh, shit. Oh, what the fuck?
Not quite sure I understand.
No, my computer is being uncooperative currently.
I gotcha.
So, okay, yeah, there I was. Oh, okay, tomorrow night's game isn't until 5:07. Friday's is the 1 o'clock.
Yep.
Oh, I still call shenanigans on that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, well. At least I'll be able to tape it, and maybe I'll not pay attention until I get home, which is going to be tough.
Right.
Well, at least I am playing for it now, though. Anywho, yeah, I guess we could get around to talking some wrestling, huh?
What's that?
Oh, what's wrestling?
I've been watching TNA lately, but slacking on my WWE watching. And you can probably predict why that is.
You're watching the downward spiral of TNA?
What? Things are not 100% kosher with TNA, I'll admit that. And heel Dixie Carter might be the most asinine thing in wrestling history, and think about what ground that covers. Think about all the Vince Russos and all that bullshit. Dixie Carter is a very unintelligent human being, and she just wants to rub elbows with pseudo celebrities, and she's on TV and she's a star now, so good for her. But there's still something that draws me to TNA, even though I hate that with a passion and I hate half of their roster. It just sort of, I can't even explain it really. It feels more like how I want wrestling to feel, you know?
Gotcha.
It's a little bit grittier. I don't know if it's more real feeling, you know, but it's more like the wrestling I grew up with as a kid. And the WWE product is just very sterile. You know, like every show is taking place inside a hospital or something. It's all very sterile and mundane. And the entire McMahon family on TV just really bothers me. And I'm just so sick of it that I can't really bring myself to watch it on a regular basis right now.
Yeah, no, they've kind of taken an interesting turn. It's because I started out with hope for this angle as I normally do, and as it struck along, it's like, okay, because like I found myself agreeing for a change with a blog on .net.
Okay.
There. Which said that they've just had too many start and stops.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And it's just Daniel Bryan's the third guy, and it's just like, yeah, this is kind of crazy. Like, they had Ryback to do something, and they killed him off. And I mean, he's taken quite a while to recover. Dolph Ziggler is headlining the pre-show before the pay-per-view.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I remember being a smartass, and I forget what jackass online said that he wouldn't get as much ovation as Hulk Hogan. It's just like, well, yeah, duh. But in the scope of things right now, he's doing better for himself than any person in TNA. So,
right.
You know, yes, he, like, you can't, I guess you can grade an era more poorly than another.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just the way things are now, too. Like, I guess, wow, I'm kind of formulating this right now. It kind of goes back to the whole different channels thing. To me, actually, and now that I think about it, like Hulk Hogan was about the only thing that you had as a major choice back in the early 80s. Like, some
right.
people had some other stuff to still get a hold of, but kind of the big brand was the WWF, so everyone kind of liked Hogan, and that's why he got big. Now, there's just such a selection of guys that you can pick from. And even in TNA, I mean, there are definitely some guys that I still like that are over there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, the crowd is more dispersed, and it's just like you've just got to go with what you have. Like, you're not going to get that big. Like, I mean, John Cena is big, and the crowd has been split on him for how many years at this point?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, they've been making reference to the crowd being split for him for about 5 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's a long time to have the top guy in all of wrestling have a split crowd. And then the WWE finally has Daniel Bryan, and CM Punk has still held it together. I'll give them at least credit enough with him.
Yeah.
Ryback, Ziggler, and now Daniel Bryan's kind of in that territory where he might still be able to pull out of it, but it will be interesting to see if he can.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, this pay-per-view just got no hype whatsoever. Like, I even now, I keep on kind of forgetting about it.
Right.
Being this Sunday.
Yeah, and there's, like, no, I don't know, intrigue behind it. I'm on a couple different message boards, and nobody's really talking about it, you know?
Yeah, no, and it's one of those things where, I guess I'd be fine with the McMahon involvement if I felt like it enhanced the whole thing, but it's just dragging
exactly. The
whole angle out.
That's perfect. Yep. That's the perfect way of putting it. It doesn't, the benefit doesn't outweigh the, not even the negative, the benefit doesn't outweigh the status quo, you know? So.
Yeah, no, so, I mean, I could definitely see how you're saying that TNA is more interesting, because they certainly, and I think Jeremy and I talked about this, it's helped them out that their roster has gotten a little bit thinner.
Absolutely. And while I'm upset that some of the guys who left were among my favorites, like Matt Morgan, it needed to happen. They needed to, I mean, they only have 2 hours a week. So you're focusing on so many different things, it's just annoying. So it's allowed them to be more focused, which is always a benefit.
Yeah, for sure. And I definitely think that's kind of helped out a little bit. And Dixie being so terrible, I guess I've just concentrated on that so much that I haven't thought about the rest of everything else. Chris Sabin has taken an interesting turn.
Yeah.
I'm still kind of on baby deer legs with him. We'll see what happens.
Okay. That's fair.
Because I don't know. Like, he has never shown me a whole lot of personality.
No.
And him being a dick will, you know, maybe he'll work his way into it. I don't think he's doing it for me right now, but.
Sure.
He has had the same character. And I guess it's been one of my big knocks with TNA is it seems like people have the same character all the time.
That is absolutely true, yeah.
And Saban is kind of is breaking that trend, and, it's kind of in a weird spot right now, but maybe after being on TV for a little bit of time, he I think he needs to use Velvet Sky a little bit more. Like, her being in on the dickishness, to me, would help out.
Keep her away from the plastic surgeon long enough to help contribute to his character. Absolutely.
Well, I guess that's the thing that's weird to me is they're kind of playing her like she's dumb.
Yeah.
But they're not playing her as like complicit in his evil acts.
Yep.
So it's like she's like quasi good, which isn't helping him be bad.
Absolutely. I agree with that.
So I think if they just do a whole act together, they could be a lot more interesting and a lot more compelling.
Sure.
And I don't know, is there anything that else there with them that has caught your fancy, like, as far as the interest goes?
As far as TNA? Well, I mean,
yeah.
The obvious one is Bully Ray has been absolutely excellent lately. That's not new, but, I mean, it needs to be pointed out. He probably is my favorite thing about wrestling right now. So I go out of my way to seek out at least his stuff on a weekly basis to see what he's doing. This is the best he's ever been, and it's a shame WWE won't give him one last run, and it's a shame how old he is. That might be hurting him as well, you know?
Yeah, I would certainly think so. And, yeah, like, that's another group. The group has gotten pared down, and though I don't like the people that they got rid of,
yeah.
I've been okay with Mike Knox stepping up.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, Garrett Bischoff and Wes Briscoe kind of fit the Stooge mold and the tag team mold way more than...
That's right.
You know, like when you do that Four Horsemen kind of a thing, or any group dynamic, you kind of need a couple of guys that are, you know, definitely lower on the totem pole.
They can't all shine with the same aplomb. like Barry Windham is an excellent wrestler, but when he was with the Horsemen, he was always a step back from Flair, obviously, you know?
Right.
You gotta look for that. You're working to get him over, you know? And the focus is on the leader. So, yeah, it works perfectly. They're kind of the perfect goons.
Yep, and what's his name is a good number two.
Mm-hmm.
Knox. Like Knux, I guess now.
Knux, yeah, excuse me, it's Mike Knux. You can't use the trademark name. But, no, I've always been a fan of his, kind of. So it's nice to see him get a chance.
Yeah, no, I agree. Because, I mean, I was the same way. And then, like, he just kind of got buried because, you know,
yeah.
Devon was kind of, you know, a second in control. And even when they brought in Ken Anderson originally.
Yeah.
Even though they didn't make him number two until later, he was there. And Festus, whatever his, Doc. Doc was also kind of in between. So, like, they had to concentrate on those guys so much that you kind of forgot about the Stooges in the group, which it's kind of an important dynamic, I guess, in that kind of a situation.
Sure. So, like, Bischoff and what's-his-name, maybe, like, Arn and Barry Windham, and Knux is kind of like Sid. So the dynamic really works when you put them together.
Yeah, and then you throw in the hot tamale trying to create problems for everybody. In unintended ways, works out quite nicely, too.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Because, yeah, I mean, she hasn't, like, actually tried to hinder the group, but having her is a blame placer works out quite well.
Yeah, it does. Mm-hmm.
You've changed since meeting her, dude. What guy hasn't said that?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I'm trying to think if there... Oh.
Hmm.
because I like what's his name. I like, oh. Even though it's a bit of a step back for Bobby Roode as a whole.
Yeah.
I do enjoy Ego.
That has been well done also, yes. And they're doing a good job of minimalizing how much of a step down it is for him, if that makes sense. It could have been a whole lot worse of a situation. So
Well, they have immediately made him the leader of that group, which is the one part that helped to cushion that blow.
Yep. Yep.
Like, Christopher Daniels, you've got to take a step back here.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, giraffe neck. You and your dumb cat do have to go bye-bye. So
yeah, no, that has certainly made things a little bit easier for him.
Yep.
And I'm trying to think, there are a couple of, I do like Manic also. I really just wish T.J. Perkins would just drop the whole mask thing and just be T.J. Perkins.
That would be good, yep.
But I do enjoy, I do enjoy his wrestling, so it's kind of hard for me to skip over that part.
Sure.
I'm trying to think of the other some of the other good stuff. I feel like there's one or two other little nuggets that I'm missing.
They have Christy Hemme. Always a plus.
That is so ridiculous. Like, there are a lot of times where I just, like, blow through, like, I'll watch her when they do, like, the ring up. Camera pan, and then just blow through the rest of the entrance.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. Understood.
Because it's been a long time. I mean, she's been around for a while now.
Absolutely has.
I mean, I feel like she has to be another one, because who was it? Yeah, I think Jeremy brought up that Angle's been in TNA now longer than the WWE.
Wow.
And I've got to think that Christy Hemme's got to be getting in on that territory, too.
Yeah, if you think about it, she wasn't in WWE that long, relatively speaking. So, yeah, she's probably hit the mark, too. Interesting.
Yeah, no, and I mean, they found a pretty, they found a good spot for her. She's,
mm-hmm.
She's better than Lillian Garcia.
Oh, miles better.
She can't sing America the Beautiful, though.
I was posting on a message board once how I hated Lillian and how awful she was at her job, in addition to being really ugly and really horse-faced and really terrible. And somebody actually said... And I was able to refute this as well, but this was their defense of Lillian. She works hard to remember all the wrestlers' names and weights. That was the praise.
Wow.
To which I said, she has a piece of paper. She's not working that hard. So, yeah, anyway.
Yeah, no, I used to think she was under the table hot, although she's always had the horse face thing. I think I got overcorrected on her and rated her too hot for what she was.
Okay.
We
do that sometimes in the heat of battle. Understood.
Oh, man. Yeah, no, I don't think I can think of anything else, and I realize I'm starting to run out of steam here.
Sure. Well, you had a whole thing about WWE, and I completely derailed it, so I apologize.
Oh, well, I don't give a shit.
That was not my intention going in here.
Yeah, we talked about wrestling, and that's always my intention.
Okay.
So there's no derailing. We did a good sports half hour.
I like to think that, like, the sports, you know, like, it's the sideshow kind of stuff, you know, you kind of, you know, all the hoo-ha and Dusty's talking about Survivor and all that bullshit, and all that stuff brings the people into the circus, and then the main act is the wrestling. So.
Yep, exactly, as Slipper used to say.
Yeah. You're right. So. You know, and
so,
Eric is still missing, so that's going on.
Yep, he's still missing, and I won't bang on Jeremy too much since he might have something written here finally. So
Jeremy's doing the best he can. So.
Well, he did do a good job of editing out my ums and ahs, evidently, over the last two interviews that I did.
Well, that's funny, because he doesn't edit when I make mistakes on audio. So that's interesting.
He told me it was easier with shorter audios. So I suppose it helped that the Ben Boone one was about 20-some-odd minutes. And,
gotcha.
Hey, I mean, we're in the plug mode, so hopefully when I can get around to write-up here, I'll post the Ricky Shane Page and Aaron McGuire interview that I did last week, which it's always enjoyable interviewing Aaron because I have to do so little work.
Yep. He is a great interview subject and just great at wrestling. So that's awesome that we can talk to him.
Yeah, when you can ask one question and get like a 3 to 5 minute answer out of it, your life has been made very easy.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, with that, it's at Stunt Granny, at Dusty Eubank, at Frango11, at Granny Maeve, Stunt Granny on Facebook, stuntgranny@gmail.com, and I'm going to bed because I'm tired from last night and I stayed up way too late celebrating. So good night, grandkids.
All right. Well, for Kevin DeFrango, this is Dusty Giebing, and this has been another edition of Stunt Granny Audio, and we will try to do better next time. Rest in peace, Walter White.